worthy of all the glory and the honor. We magnify you, Jesus. We bless your name, oh God. Praise God. Praise God. We thank God for all the activity in the altar this morning, all the prayers that are going up. And we praise God. A brother in the house has already been filled again with the Spirit of God, had a refilling. Thank God for these sisters that are here seeking the face of God today. Praise God. I want to continue to be in prayer for Brother Warren and his household, and they've got a difficult week ahead of them. I want to ask God's anointing and blessing on them to keep them in a time of rejoicing, because they've sent someone over to the other side. But in difficult and painful transition, because they're sending somebody over that they have great, great love for, and it's just a hard thing. So you just continue to lift them up in prayer and worship, and God is able to touch them. Praise God. Praise God. So just got a response from Megan. They have 7 visitors in their storefront this morning over in Aniata. And they have a team from New Life there working with them in the altar and working with them in music. And so we're going to do that, and we're going to continue to do that for the near term, and send a team every Sunday morning over there and worship with them. And it helps having more of us in the house, and it helps having somebody there that knows how to respond to the preaching and knows how to respond to the worship and to the presence of God. And then if those 7 all sought the Holy Ghost this morning, you need a lot of hands on deck. You need a lot of folks there that can help them pray and seek the face of God. And everybody say amen. Praise God. We're going to continue with our study of the book of Leviticus this morning. I want to thank all those that took part in the career fair yesterday. And Sister Brittany did an excellent job of coordinating this. And want to thank those that worked in the kitchen preparing lunch for all of the attendees. And your brothers and sisters in the house did an outstanding job as presenters in that career fair, and participants on a panel and a panel discussion, and just excellent stuff. They did a mock interview, and it was just a wonderful thing. And so we had a good number of visitors there, and they were exposed to some apostolic folks. And so we're encouraged by it. And Sister Brittany's folks that attended from UAB and from a scholarship foundation were so impressed with the presentation yesterday that they tore up the check that they had brought her for a scholarship and doubled the check right there on the spot, sending her off to optometry school. So here at UAB, by the way, not in Kentucky. Not that we have anything against Kentucky. We love Kentucky, but we're glad she's staying here. I mean, there's all kinds of good things like Kentucky Fried Chicken and all of that, you know. But we're glad you're going to stay here. I don't see Brother Carl Johnson. He is also going to be here for a little while. Are you waving at me? He's above. He's gone on to be with the Lord. He's been translated like Enoch and Elijah. I got you. Sister Maya is going to let us know, though, that he got his residence here, and he's going to be staying in Birmingham and at UAB for another couple of years, doing a residence in surgery. And I have somebody sent me, Brother Bird, a description of your new job position, and I'm going to celebrate you tonight. I'm not going to celebrate you now, because I have to fish that out and I have to read it and do justice to it. Can't imagine who would have sent me that. But somebody, I would say, close to you. But it's good. And if we have any kids that are on AB Honor Roll, we'll celebrate them too, alongside Dr. Pierce. Because that's what we do in the kingdom of God. We celebrate good things, and we celebrate what God is doing in us and all that He's made available. God has a purpose and a plan for you, and He has great and vast potential deposited in you. And it is in keeping with the will and purpose of God that you fulfill your potential and that you actualize all the goodness and the grace and the gifting that God has put in you. And these things are not on any level contradictory or in tension with the business of the kingdom of God. It is the business of the kingdom of God. And redemptive lifts you up in every area of your life. And you should be outstanding. And wherever you go and wherever your skill set, your career leads you, you should be light and salt and witness and effective and fruitful and an obedient servant to the kingdom of God. And everybody say amen. Appreciate the good singing and the worship this morning. Appreciate the praise group helping us worship God. All right, Leviticus chapter 9 and beginning in verse 22. And if you're not familiar with this passage, this is at the end of all the building and the preparation for the tabernacle. And this is the first time that they really inaugurate the altar. And we've touched on this a little bit, but not quite like we will this morning. And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them and came down from offering the sin offering and the burnt offering and peace offering. So they're just learning how to do this. They've been at Mount Sinai for 2 years learning how to become the people of God and how to work the process of God and just how to get it all right, because there's a lot of moving parts to this tabernacle business, and it is the business of redemption. So you got to get it right. So don't be dismayed at all if when you first come to God, it seems like there's a lot to learn and a lot to know. And you are so eager and you want to get there like right now, but it's not McDonald's and it's not a microwave and it's the kingdom of God and it is the business of redemption. So whatever you have to do and however long it takes you, it'll be well worth it. 5 minutes on the other side, you'll be glad for everything that you did in obedience to the word of God. Aaron came down off the altar, and Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people, and there came out a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted, ah, and fell on their faces. Because they had never seen this before, and you would have shouted and fallen on your face too. Nobody looked at that and said, oh, wow, that was God and fire from God. They all were astonished and amazed, and they fell on their faces. If you love the word of God, as you are seated this morning, let's give Him praise and thanks, and let's bless His name. Mighty God, we praise You and worship You and thank You for every blessing and all the goodness You give us by Your word. Let Your word move in this house, in every house, in every family, in every heart today. We pray that You would do it in the name above every name. And everyone said, in Jesus' name. Praise God. So Moses and Aaron have the tabernacle constructed now. All the people have been involved, different skill sets and all sorts of giftings, and they've made all the things that are involved in the tabernacle, and now they've got it all together, and they've set it up, and now they've got the animal sacrifice, which was required by the law, in place. And there's a lot of detail here, and there's a lot of obedience here, and there are many, many commandments that have to be observed, and there's a great deal of process involved in this, the cleaning and the sanctification of the priesthood and all of the things that that are involved. It just gives you pause to think sometimes when as the temple faithful in Jerusalem are getting ready to re-inaugurate the temple. If you don't know that, there by prophecy will be a rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. And it's a part of the end time events. That's how we know it will be there. Well, there's a group of very proactive Jews over in Jerusalem that have begun to gather all the things and all the stuff, and they're making it available again. And so they needed, for the inauguration of the temple, they needed a red heifer, because you had to have a sacrifice of a red heifer, a female cow, and you had to take that cow and kill it and burn it and gather the ashes, and the ashes of that red heifer were involved in the instituting of these processes and this inaugural experience in the tabernacle. Now, these are modern times, so I'm thinking probably it was 10, 12 years ago that the temple faithful started looking for a pure strain of red cattle somewhere, and of all places, they found it in Mississippi. The cow they needed was in Mississippi. But all our cows here are branded, or they're tagged, and they've got markings on them. This has to be without spot, without blemish. So they had to take the red cows from Mississippi and take them over to Israel, and then create another generation. They had to breed them and let them produce their own so that they can have some that are ready. And they have them, and they are ready right now. By the way, everything is ready for the rebuilding of that temple. It's on the way. And I'm just telling you, by the way, did you know Israel was back in the land? It's impossible that they're there, but they're there because the word of God prophesied that God would scatter them all over the world twice and gather them back twice. And I'm pretty impressed with God. I'm pretty impressed. But in this ancient time, and in this inaugural season of the tabernacle with Moses and Aaron, a lot of things that they had to pay attention to, minutiae, just minute detail. Just to give you an idea, I won't do it all, but it's pretty lengthy. But Leviticus 9, starting in verse 1, and it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said unto Aaron, take thee a young calf for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. And unto the children of Israel thou shalt speak, saying, take a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year, without blemish, for a burnt offering. Also a bullock and a ram for peace offerings to sacrifice before the Lord, and a meat offering mingled with oil, for today the Lord will appear unto you. And they brought that which Moses commanded before the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that you should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear to you this day. And Moses said to Aaron, go to the altar and offer your sin offering and the burnt offering, and make an atonement for yourself and for the people, and offer the offering to the people and make an atonement for them as the Lord commanded. And Aaron went before the altar and slew the calf of the sin offering. And there's a way you do this, and there's a certain type of animal. It has to be a very specific animal. All this has to be rounded up, and all of this in the already accomplished tabernacle setting, all of the different tapestries and the veils and the coverings and the posts and the silver sockets and everything that went in, the goldsmithing and the silversmithing and everything that went in. And the sons of Aaron brought the blood unto him, and he dipped his finger in the blood and put it on the horns of the altar. The altar had horns, and poured out of the blood at the bottom of the altar. But the fat and the kidneys and the caul above the liver of the sin offering he burnt upon the altar. These are the instructions. They are replaying. They are enacting what God has instructed them. And you can read the instructions as they came to Moses. And the flesh and the hide he burnt with fire outside the camp. And he slew the burnt offering. And Aaron's sons presented unto him the blood, which he sprinkled round about upon the altar, and they presented the burnt offering to him with the pieces thereof and the head, and he burnt them on the altar, and he did wash the inwards. Yuck. and the legs and burnt them upon the burnt offering on the altar. And he brought the people's offering and took the goat, which was the sin offering for the people, and slew it and offered it for sin as the first. And he brought the burnt offering and offered it according to the manner. And he brought the meat offering and took a handful thereof and burnt it upon the altar beside the burnt sacrifice of the morning. And he slew also the bullock and the ram for a sacrifice of peace offerings, which was for the people. And Aaron's sons presented unto him the blood, which he sprinkled upon the altar and round about the fat of the bullock and of the ram, the rump, and that which covereth the inwards, the kidneys, and the caul above the liver. That's a repetitive refrain, and I have no idea what part of the anatomy that is. Talk to some of these medical folks, although I don't know if they know about bullocks and rams or if there's a caul above the human liver. And they put the fat upon the breast, and he burned the fat upon the altar and the breast and the right shoulder. Aaron weighed for a wave offering before the Lord, as Moses commanded. And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them. He came down from the offering, the sin offering. That's when the fire came. But you are aware here, and this is not the construction of the tabernacle, nor the instruction of a million other details concerning the redemptive process. This is just the inaugural day and the peace offerings and the burnt offerings and the sin offering and the offerings for Aaron, and you see how detailed and how involved it all was. But with the detail and with the minutia and with diligence and care to all the detail and to the adherence to process, and you see it again in the later chapters of Exodus and in these chapters in Leviticus. And you've heard perhaps an axiom that God is in the details. You might have heard the devil is in the details, but I'm going to tell you, God is into detail, and you can't escape the fact of how fearfully and wonderfully you are made. You are made down to the detail. Your neurological system and your vascular system and all the things that have to do with your optics and all of that has a bajillion little tiny important parts connected, and God works by detail. And when God gives you something to do, you better hear and understand by the word of God. Everything that God tells you is essential and necessary, and you need to be about the business of embracing the commandment of God and adhering to the process of God. And sometimes when you're caught up in an emotional swirl, or you're just like the fog of war, there is a fog of life, and you're in the middle of it, and life is going on all around you, and things are happening, and pressure is wearing you down. I just want to tell you, you need to get things in order on the altar, just like God commanded, just like the word of God speaks to us. You need to get yourself plugged into the process of God and stay in alignment with the word of God, and keep doing what you know to do. And if you will, the fire will fall. If you will, then the fire will fall. Moses and Aaron and Israel did it all according to the word of God. And if you'll do it all according to the word of God, the fire will fall. And when the fire falls, that you brought that you need God to take care of and you put on the altar, God's fire will take care of that. All those things that are warring against you, that fire will take care of that. The things that need purifying, the fire will take care of that. There's a cleansing and a purifying that comes when the fire comes. But there's also something about the Spirit of God. The prophet said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. There's an invigorating, there's a life-giving component to that fire. There's something that recharges you and gets you set back up on your feet again and doing those things with clarity of mind that God has called you to do. We need the fire of God in our lives. We've got to have the fire of God in our altar. We've got to have the fire of God in our church. Praise God. So as we're making our way through Exodus and now in Leviticus, we're seeing great attention to detail. And Moses does everything according to God's word, as God showed him in the mountain. Exodus 39. And Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it. Israel had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so had they done it, and Moses blessed them. There is a premium in the word of God on obedience, an adherence to obey the commandment of God, the mandate of God, and the process of God. It is absolutely essential. There's the theme with Noah, and this is repetitive in the story of Noah. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. And to stop today and to evaluate and to take stock of your own life and to know what God has said and then to ask the question, have I done everything God spoke to me? Have I done everything I know I need to do in the kingdom of God? Brother Sutton, you're talking about perfection. No, I'm talking about obedience. Not a one of us will ever be perfect other than under the blood of Jesus and by the power of his grace. But everybody in this house can be obedient. God never asked you to do anything that he didn't empower you to do. God never ever asked you to do or be anything that was outside your reach. God never gave you a commandment that somehow it's plausible to assume that you might escape. God has commanded things because he knows you're able to rise up and do the things that he commanded. And they're good for you. And they work in the process, and they're redemptive. Praise God. And then there's obvious price for disobedience and failure to observe detail. As we move right out of that event that was our text today and into Leviticus chapter 10, the sons of Aaron make a fatal mistake. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. The configuration of the tabernacle, it was a long rectangular tent, a big room called the sanctuary and a little room called the Holy of Holies. And out in the courtyard on the way into the tent network, there was an altar of sacrifice where the animals were slain and offered up, and there was a basin with water called a lava that they washed in. And when God rained down that fire with Moses and Aaron in our text reading today, God gave them the fire that they would forever use for that altar. In the instruction from the mountain, he gave them all sorts of things that they needed to make in regard to the sacrificial altar, and he gave them instructions about tongs, and it's like a barbecue grill and all the things involved with the grill. But one of the things he gave them instruction to make were fire pans, and they were to gather the fire and keep the fire and never let it go out. And the next encampment and then the encampment after that would be started with the fire that God gave and that came down on the altar. Now, later on, they were instructed and they would build the altar of incense, which is a place near the Holy of Holies for the burning of incense. And it filled all the house with a sweet smelling savor, and it boiled over into where God was, and it moved out into where people were, and it filled the whole house with a sweet smelling savor. And it is a type of your prayer and a type of your praise and your worship. And as they made their way into that place, they were supposed to bring, the instruction was to bring the fire off the altar of sacrifice to burn the incense with. And so when it says here that they brought strange fire before the Lord, it just simply means that they didn't go out into the courtyard and gather the fire as they were instructed and bring it in to burn the incense, but rather they were there and they got fire by some other source. Don't know where they got it, don't know how they got it. It's prior to Bic lighters and other things, so I'm not sure how they started a fire, but they had something maybe more convenient or something they just wanted to offer. But they offered up strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. I'm just telling you, it is a serious thing to disobey God. It's a very necessary thing to walk in obedience. The whole duty of man is to love God and obey his word. And then Moses said to Aaron, this is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I'll be glorified. This is the first day of the tabernacle. And Aaron held his peace. Those are his boys laying in their dead. And Moses called some of the young men, and they came, and they carried those brethren out, and they wouldn't let them have a funeral, and they wouldn't let them mourn as a family would mourn, but they carried them outside in their coats outside the camp and deposited their bodies out there. And he told Aaron, don't go outside. Don't get involved in this. You're not going to be a part of memorializing these boys and what they did. Let others take care of that for you. Now, I don't know if they grew bored or they became lazy or they were just carnal or they just forgot. But as far back as you want to go with Aaron and the tabernacle process, it is quite often Aaron and his sons. And they are involved in the building of it. And they're involved in the sanctifying of all the things. And every step along the way, they're involved. They knew the word of God. And they knew better, and they decided to do something other than the mandate of the Word of God. And I want you to know, there is a world full of what is called Christianity today, but there's a world full of something that is nothing like the Word of God. And people have made it up, and they've created their own. They have man-made theologies. They have man-made doctrines. They have man-made traditions. They are walking it according to their desire. I'll tell you, you can do that if you want to, because it's America and we're free to do anything you want. But if you don't do it the way God wants it done, the fire will not fall on your life. You won't have the fire of God in your altar. You won't have the fire of God in your household or in your ministry. And I'm telling you, you've got to have the fire of God. Somebody say amen. It's God's affirmation. It's God saying yes. It's God saying amen. And it's functional, because the fire burns up that was offered. And we often talk about the altar, and we don't have in the New Testament generation or era, we don't have an altar where we kill animals, because Jesus was the ultimate and the complete sacrifice. But we do have an altar. We come and we lay our hearts and our lives. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you offer up your bodies a living sacrifice. That means you bring your body to the altar of God. But he said, a living sacrifice. You don't die in the natural, but you die out to your world. You die. You bring the things that you love that are not like God, and you put them on an altar. You bring the things that war against your soul, and you put them on an altar. You bring the things that are corrupting your family, and you put them on an altar. You bring the things that undermine the word of God, and you put them on an altar. And when you do, and you've got it like God wants it, the fire comes down. And when you get up and you walk away, those things are not going to be a problem in your life anymore. But you got to have the fire. We need the fire. God, send the fire. People, be careful when you sing that, because you don't want to be so close to the world, and when God takes that out, he takes you out with it. But we need the fire. Fire divides. Fire clarifies. Fire is the acknowledgement of God. There was fire on an altar in the days of Elijah. And Elijah came out and met with King Ahab. Ahab and Jezebel had introduced Baal worship, and they had murdered innocents, and they were full of debauchery, and they had introduced all sorts of things that were ungodly into Israel. And Elijah goes to Ahab, and he calls the prophets of the false god Baal to a mountain called Carmel. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. They had religion. They had a God. They had some sort of process, but it wasn't God's process. And they had gone off into something else altogether. But when he called the people who were the people of God to him, the first thing he did was repair the altar. You need an altar in your life. You need an altar that's not broken down, nor forgotten, nor pushed away on the side of the road of your life. You need an altar that's vibrant and central to your life and in a prominent place in your thinking and in a prominent place in your household. Somebody say praise the Lord. You need an altar. It's your place of prayer. You need an altar. It's your place of consecration. You need an altar. It's your place of commitment to God. You need an altar. It's the place where you make this thing real in your life. You need an altar in your life. And if it's been a long time, and a long time before, since you really prayed and since you really did business with God according to his word, when you come back, it may be a little fallen over. It may be a little crumbled down. It may have some problems. And the first thing you need to do, you need to repair the altar in your life. All the people came near and he repaired the altar of the Lord. God's dedicated foundation, God's chosen methodology, God's word, God's way. That's where we meet God, at an altar. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. He took 12 stones because that number means something to God. He took 12 stones because at the end of this reading, we're going to see God had told him exactly what to do. 12 tribes of Israel and 12 patriarchs and 12 apostles. And these are important features in the conversation of the word of God. All of that, it just matters that God told him to do it. And so he did it God's way. I want you to know, it doesn't matter what the tradition of your family says or what your close friend says. What matters is, thus saith the word of God. You're going to build up the altar in your life and restore yourself into companionship and into relationship with God. You're going to have to build an altar, but you've got to build it God's way. It's got to be God's design. I'm telling you, going to church in a dead house full of dead things and lifeless things where they've edited the word of God and they don't live it according to the word of God anymore, none of that does you any good. The fire won't fall there. I'm not throwing stones at anybody else. I'm trying to encourage you to draw close to the word of God and let's rebuild an altar. He took 12 stones, things that matter to God. Things that matter to God don't matter in America in 2019. They're sexualizing little baby girls. Things that matter to God don't matter to America in 2019. It doesn't matter to America that they're aborting babies every day, but it matters to God. It doesn't matter to America that there's liars and thieves involved in everything in this country. I'm telling you, but it still matters to God. And if you want to be right with God, you can't be a whoremonger, and you can't be a fornicator, and you can't be like Hollywood, and you don't want to. You want to live for God, you better go to the word of God and find out what that means. When you do that, when you draw close to God, it's going to make people angry. It's going to turn away some of your friends. It's going to make somebody disappointed in you. It will offend people because God is not politically correct. God's not politically correct, and he doesn't care. Let God be true and every man a liar. Some things are important to God that are not important to America in 2019. But I've got a heart, and I think you might have a heart that wants to serve God. And if you do, it's going to start in an altar, and you're going to have to build it God's way. With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order because there was a way given by God to Moses on Sinai, and Abraham knew about it, and Moses knows about it. He puts the wood in the right order and cuts the bullock in pieces. And I'm telling you, it mattered how you cut up that bullock. But people will tell you today, oh, it doesn't matter how you do that. That's all legalism. That's all under the law. It doesn't matter if you really pay attention to the detail of the Word of God. I want to tell you, I want to just give you a straight up New Testament scripture. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. How about no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost? And how about if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his? And how about you really do have to forgive others? And how about you really can't be a bigot? And how about you really can't be a racist and be right with God? And how about you really can't follow after the world around you and be like God? Some things matter to God. And they need to, I'll tell you what, they matter to God and they matter to God's church. When you find people that think the things that God emphasizes are important, you may have found the church of the living God. He put the wood in order, cut the bullock in pieces as per God's commandment to Moses, and said, fill 4 barrels with water. The problem right here is that he had prayed a prayer 3 years earlier and shut up the heavens, and there was a drought in the land. And he said, in the middle of a drought, fill 4 barrels with water and put it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. What had just happened? The 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of the groves had the first shot. They built an altar. They put their sacrifice there. And they danced and they sang and they prayed. And the time went on. And they were getting into the afternoon. And they hadn't heard. And so they began to weep and mourn and cut themselves and bleed. And the Bible said the blood gushed out on the altar. They were desperate because Elijah had said, let the God that is God answer by fire. Amen. So now they're having to really work this thing, and it hasn't happened yet. And Elijah says, you boys take a break. And he just builds that little simple altar of the Lord. And he puts the sacrifice in place. And he says, now I'm going to show you how this works. And in the middle of a drought, he calls for 4 barrels of water, pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it again the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it again the third time. And they did it the third time. And he's involved in some measure of extravagance here in the middle of this challenging time. But he's being obedient to the word of God because this is what God had told him to do. He said, Elijah, they can't get fire on a dry sacrifice. I'm going to show you how fire looks, how it works when it comes. And the water ran around about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. That was something instituted in the tabernacle. Morning and evening sacrifice. And it is the time of the evening sacrifice. And it has to be at the right time. Because see, things matter to God. Some things matter to God. And he did it at the time of the evening sacrifice. He's running on God's schedule. That Elijah the prophet came near and said, he didn't pray until it was the time for the evening sacrifice. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. The challenge that he gave, the place that he chose, the altar that he repaired, the trench, the water, all of it was what God told him to do. There are a lot of folks that think you people go to way too much trouble to live for God. I go down the street here. We only go once on Sunday. And it doesn't, all that leaping and jumping and running and carrying on that you folks do, none of that is necessary. And this, all this devotion and all this business about abstaining from the world and keeping yourself unto God and all that. Hey, I'm out here. I'm a Christian and we're out here in the world. Matter of fact, I'm at the club on Saturday night and I'm in the choir on Sunday morning. You see, you guys are just taking this way too far. And they might have thought that with Elijah. But Elijah just said this, I did it all at thy word. That's what you want to be able to say. You want to be able to offer the word of God to anybody that asks you about your faith, about what you do, about how often you're at church, about the exuberance of worship and praise. If you're a visitor here and you don't understand what all this praise and worship is about, we've got chapter and verse that says praise him with the stringed instruments, praise him on the organs, praise him with the timbrel, praise him with the dance. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We've got David dancing down Main Street with all of his might, praising and magnifying God, and God likes it. And he prays this prayer. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. 5 minutes before, they weren't quite sure about Baal or about the God of Abraham. But now, the one that answered by fire is the one you really want to serve. I'm just telling you, you do it like God says. You do it according to his word, and the fire is going to fall. You get the right things on the altar. You get the required things on the altar, and the fire will burn up all the wrong things. The fire came, and the fire consumed all the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. I want to tell you, you get yourself a relationship with God and the fire falls, the fire will burn up your fear. The fire will burn up your neurosis. The fire will burn up your struggle with things you've been struggling with all your life. The fire will burn up all those things that are not like God. Somebody say, is there a witness in this house? Has somebody found him to be a God that delivers to the uttermost? Praise God. When John the Baptist is talking about Jesus, and this is at the dawn of the New Testament church, Sam, won't you come help me? He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. John instituted or introduced baptism to Israel. And he's baptizing. And as they baptize, they demonstrate death, burial, and resurrection. And he baptizes Jesus. But and a hallmark of the New Testament church is going to be baptism. Something brand new God is doing. And he begins to tell the people, I'm baptizing you with water unto repentance. He's calling Israel back to repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Somebody say, and with fire. It's not just Moses and it's not just Elijah, but when they're talking about the church of the living God, he said it's going to be Holy Ghost and it's going to be fire. Somebody say, Holy Ghost and fire. Say, I need the Holy Ghost and I need the fire. Come on, I need the Holy Ghost and I need the fire. I need the Holy Ghost and I need the fire. John's message was repentance. John's message was make a highway for our God. What he's telling Israel is remember God's ways. Go back to God's ways. Go back and get things in order. Go back and restore the altar of God.
There's a call in this house today, and it's saying, let's get back to God. Let's get back to the altar. Let's get back to things that are important to God. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Somebody say amen. Listen, you need to say amen to everything that God says. In Acts chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were there because Jesus told them to go there. They were there because that was the place he said go. They were doing what he said to do. They were being what he said to be. They were doing the thing that God had commanded. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. The first church had fire. The last day church needs fire. The church was born in fire. The church of 2019 needs to live in the fire. My God, somebody say amen. Somebody shout amen. And it sat on each of them. It wasn't a physical altar like Moses and Aaron's. It wasn't a repaired altar like Elijah's, but it came and it sat on the New Testament saint of God, because the New Testament saint of God is the altar and is the sacrifice and is the word of God and is the light of God and is everything that you would have found in that tabernacle process. It sat on each of them. Now, I can't see it this morning, but I'm trusting you got some fire over your head. I'm trusting you got the fire of the Holy Ghost in your life. I don't know how we had built it into the culture, but the next time you meet somebody at church, just kind of look at them and say, and walk away. And they may not know what you mean, and they may not have been here for this morning, or they might be a little slow on the uptake, but what you're saying is, still got the fire. I got the Holy Ghost, and I got the fire. Just like they made the fire pans in the days of Moses and Aaron to carry the fire in every encampment, God has placed the fire of God down in the heart of every New Testament believer. And you carry it with you everywhere you go. And when the fire falls, that's God saying yes. And when the fire falls, that's God's answer. And he's approving and he's affirming. And as it was in the days of Moses, it creates reverence in the heart of everybody that sees it. In Elijah's day, the fire licked up the dust and the stones. It separated God as the only true and living God. People that live in churches without the fire, they're kind of wondering. They don't know. They're not quite sure. They're not real passionate about it because it's just not all clarified. Boom, but when the fire falls, everything gets clear. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. After the fire fell, Elijah went down and told the king, he said, you better make your way back to Jezreel, for I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Rain in the New Testament and the Old Testament is a sign and a symbol of revival. The former rain, the latter rain, in agricultural terms and in spiritual terms. But when the fire falls, the rain is not long after. Church of the Living God, if you want to see a latter-day outpouring of the Holy Ghost, get the altar in shape. get everything on the altar. Let's get it just like God said to build it. Let's have everything in place, and the things that matter to God, let's let them matter to us. I'll guarantee you this, the fire will fall, but I'm going to tell you this also, immediately after, there's the sound of an abundance of rain. Praise God. When the fire falls, it's accompanied by an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. It signals in that upper room the moving of the prophetic. Peter was going to tell them when they had questions about what just happened there, why all these people were speaking in other languages and all. He said, this is prophetic. This is that was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Where the fire falls, the Spirit of God moves. Where the fire falls, the prophetic is in that place. I'm just telling you, it creates a path for revival. We need the fire this morning. But you can do it like the prophets of Baal did it, and you can pour yourself out, and you can be so passionate and energetic, but you've got it. Your passion won't bring the fire. You got to do it God's way. You've got to position it God's way. You've got to repair those things that are falling down that are God's. You've got to begin to think in terms of what God thinks is important, is really important. You've got to have a heart. Oh, my God, somebody needs to be in this altar right now. Somebody needs to bring a life that is drifting away from God down to this altar right now. Somebody needs to bring a heart that's a little bit cold down to this altar right now. You need some fire in your life. You need to bring it the way that God says to bring it. You need to repair the altar in your life. My God, my God. Let's lift up every voice right now. Let's lift up every heart right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, work on that altar. Come on, the thing you've been sandbagging God about. Let's get it resolved. Let's get it right. Let's make it right before God. Come on, God's way. God's way. Not yours, not mine, not someone else. God's way.
Shut up in my bones to the one that I desire. You're the only one.
Let's pray, church. Somebody pray. Somebody cry out. Somebody get a hold of God here this morning. If you'd like to receive the Holy Ghost, God will pour it out on you this morning. If you'd like to receive an answer from God, come on down to this altar. If you need something from God, come on down to this altar. Praise God. Reach over, lay your hand on somebody. Knit together with somebody. Reach over, take somebody's hand. Lay your hand on somebody this morning. Some worshipers. My God, we need some worshipers. Worship brings down the fire. Prayer brings down the fire. Crying unto God brings down the fire. Somebody begin to worship God.
for the one.
Come on, reach over. Pray for somebody right now. Let the Holy Ghost move in that prayer. Lay hands on somebody. Talk in tongues. Lay hands on somebody. Let that Holy Ghost flow. That's it. Let's seek the face of God.
It's just like fire. You're the one. Only in your presence, oh God. It's just like fire.
Praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands unto Him and bless His name. God, mighty God, we praise You. We worship You. We lift You, oh God.